All right, everybody, it's 9:30, and I don't know about you, but I'm kind of chomping at the bit, just really excited about being able to share with you. I want to just say that this topic that I want to be talking about in the month of November, if I can keep from knocking my little microphone off, is a very, very, very personal to me. You know that saying about it's not too late, or it's hard to... Or you can't, I guess, teach an old dog new tricks. But, you know, with God, all things are possible. And so this old dog has been learning a new trick or two about myself. And all my life, I have had this coping, you know, a coping mechanism, a coping strategy in my life that I learned early on. And it had to do with pain and suffering. I had a lot of pain and suffering as a little child. Failure to bond with my mother, rejection, looking for love, looking for acceptance. And so as a little kid, my way of coping with that was just trying to keep pain and suffering at arm's length. I ignored it. I pushed it down. I put on a happy mask. I was one of the nicest people you ever met because I didn't want to offend anybody. I wanted to please people. I didn't want to get any conflicts. I would put like spiritual spins on things, you know, kind of like trying to exercise a lot of faith. I would grab that silver lining and I would try to ignore the black clouds. And so I've done that all my life. And it's just recently been, I'm learning these things about myself. And I realize that I'm not criticizing myself. I'm not condemning myself. I mean, I was just a little kid. So you do the best you can, you know. But I'm realizing now that that's not a really healthy, it's not the best way to handle pain and suffering. And so for the last two or three months, I've been doing a really deep dive into what the Bible says about suffering. And I mean, this is one of the big, big questions in the whole Christian experience. And it's one that people who aren't believers look at us and say, you must be stupid. How could you look around at the world that we live in and reach the conclusion that there's a good God in charge of all of this? That's crazy. So what I want us to do over the next, I guess it's going to be 5 Sundays, is to really kind of take a look at that question, not just so that we can answer people who are outside of the faith, but for our own selves as well. How is a Christian supposed to understand it when we're struggling and we're going through hard times? I just want to make sure I'm in front of the right crowd. How many people have ever experienced suffering or pain in your life? Okay, got a lot of honest people here. Yeah, some of y'all are putting up 2 hands, right? All right. So, yes, I've done a lot of reading. I've covered a lot of different authors, C.S. Lewis, John Piper, Philip Yancey, Elizabeth Elliot. Anyway, all this stuff I've boiled down to bring to you now. And I've got it in a bunch of slides, so we're just going to kind of take a look. And, of course, the Bible, a lot of Bible. So let's just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to really lead us through this next month of conversations. Holy Spirit, I just want to turn this time over to you 100%. And I want you to flow and speak and declare truth today and in the days to come. And I ask that truth would be something that would encourage our hearts and strengthen our faith. Use me. Help the folks here to have hearts that are hungry, minds that are open. Filter what I say, Spirit, so that if there's anything that's amiss, you correct that and you straighten that out. So we just turn it over to you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, where is God when it hurts? And it hurts a lot, and that's a good question to ask. And I'm going to talk more later about why that's such a good question and the way to kind of talk about suffering. But just here as an introduction, and I'm going to see if I can, another old dog and new tricks, I want to see if I'm able to handle all this technology here. I just flipped to the next. Okay, well, that's good. Oh, no, that's not good. I can flip back. That's my help meet right there. That's help. Okay. So here's this little introduction which says, we as Americans aren't used to suffering, we don't like it, and we work really hard to avoid suffering or at least mitigate it. We really value our comfort and convenience. And when we do suffer, we wonder why we're suffering, and we suppose that maybe there's just something wrong. Here's a question. If we have enough faith, should we ever have to suffer? And then what does the Bible have to say about suffering? Well, my little helpers went around with a handout sheet. If you didn't get one, I've got some up here. But it's a sheet that's front and back that's kind of titled, what are some Bible verses about suffering? Anyone? What are some Bible verses about suffering? And let me just say, this list is not exhaustive. The Bible talks a lot about suffering. So here's what we're going to do together. I'm going to see if I can get you to sit beside someone, and so with a partner. I'd like for us to take about 10 minutes to look over this handout sheet of Bible verses. And then I want you and your partner to see if you can just come up with just two or three general statements about suffering based off of your handout sheet. And then I'd like you to send whoever's the best looking or the bravest to come up here to the whiteboard and just jot down, you know, what conclusion you came to from just looking at your sheet. So any questions about that? Okay, let me give you a few minutes to just kind of read over these. Okay, you're just going to look over these with your partner. And you're going to try to say, can I come up with some kind of general statement looking at all those different things? Maybe a couple of them. And then once you have, like, here, this is what I can say about suffering based on these scriptures. And then send somebody up here to just jot your thoughts down, like whatever you come up with about suffering. All right. Let me give you a little time to read through those. Come right on up. Get the ball rolling here. I can't either, but tell me what you got. Tell it to me in this ear.
Do not despise the suffering.
Okay. That's good.
I'm not done.
All right.
The wilderness is God's forge.
The wilderness
is God's forge.
Okay, yeah. I like that.
I'm not done yet.
Oh man.
But we're almost.
It sounds like you have some experience in this.
I've heard it, and really, it's something that was told to me, and it is really sticking to me. God's forge. The silence.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the quiet between hammer strokes. Because he's forging us into.
Yeah. Very good. Excellent. Come on down. How about a purple marker?
Thank you.
We got room for two or three people at a time to come on up, so don't be shy. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Anything that's worth it's hard, right?
That's true. That one was a little iffy to start with. Go with that black one over there. We need to take up a collection for new whiteboard markers. Y'all doing great. Just keep it coming.
Like, put your big boy panties on and grow up.
So
I told him what I'd like to write.
Is it any good?
Can we leave that for you for next week? Is maybe talk to whoever?
Yeah, these are kind of. Yeah, I'll get them. Should I go get some more right now?
Nah, we're good. We're all right. Kind of suck on them a little bit. All right. Okay.
tomorrow.
I believe I've hit a nerve here. I think people have a lot to say about this. Well, there are some that maybe if you like hold your mouth right, they'll work. See what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Mike, that kind of looks a little bit like the same thing's true of organic fertilizer.
That well, that kind of like what hit me and how I wanted to finish it up.
All right, I think we're getting pretty good here. We've got plenty of grist for the mill. Let me just start reading some of these to you. Here's one that says, "Do not despise the suffering. The wilderness is God's forge. The silence is the quiet between hammer strokes." Between hammer strokes, period. Here's another, somebody put down that suffering, it won't last forever. Praise God for that. Somebody wrote down, it's hard, but it's worth it. Yeah. Here's one that just says, he's faithful. Good. Here's one, heaven doesn't have suffering. Ooh. Hallelujah. And this, here's one, suffering doesn't separate us from God. I would just say suffering doesn't necessarily separate us from God. It can be a test, and we can decide which way we're going to go, but it doesn't have to separate us from God. Suffering is stinky. Yeah, it stinks, but that's what makes it grow into fulfillment. Thought that's kind of like some good organic fertilizer, you know, and the manure that you put in there, and it makes that good stuff grow. I love this one, the fellowship of his suffering. So you follow Christ, and he suffered, right? Do not be afraid to ask for help. That's a great, great line right there. And be thankful that you have everything, life, and the glory and the grace of the Lord. Here's some bullet points. Suffering, inevitable. It has a purpose. He is with us in it. It has a reward. It makes us more like Jesus. Wow. I guess, you know, we could just kind of wrap it up and call that it. And, you know, it's really good stuff. The cross says it all with double exclamation points back there. And towards the end of the month, we're really going to dig in on that because that's so true. And then we learn a lot about ourselves and our relationship to God in the midst of suffering. So, yeah, really good stuff. I feel like I'm in the right place with people who've been through some suffering and gonna have some good thoughts to share about that. All right, I'm gonna try my little clicker here, and just have a few kind of opening thoughts about suffering. And the first one is just that, should we be surprised that we're suffering? Because it says we live in a sinful and a fallen world. And so if you wanted to blame somebody for suffering, we blame ourselves, right? Because it wasn't God's plan at the start. So the second little point is that most suffering is a consequence of sin, either our own or somebody else's sin. Not all, but a lot of that suffering that we experience is related to sin. And this third point, suffering can have two outcomes. We can become bitter or we can get better. It can either cause us to doubt God and get to the place where we're not sure that we can trust Him, or it can stretch and grow our faith and we get to the place where we run to Him in our suffering. And I'll talk more about that, but you know, the talk about one of the things about suffering is that it could be seen as it's kind of a test. Our faith could be put to the test in suffering. And I think the devil just kicks up his heels when we're going through hard times, because what he wants us to do is begin to doubt God's love for us and His goodness. And when we start doing that, then what we're tempted to do is put our trust somewhere else besides God. You know, God allowed this to happen to me. He must not be good. He must not love me. So I'm going to have to start trusting in myself or trusting in something else. You know what that's called when you trust in anything else but God in the Old Testament? They call that idolatry. And doesn't the devil just love to see us kind of get tempted to walk down that path, right? So suffering's capable of producing idolatry in us. Let me go to the next one. This is a quote from Elizabeth Elliot. She said that sin and suffering defined, here's what it is. Either A, we don't have what we want, or we have what we don't want. Okay? We don't have what we want, or we don't have what we want. All right? So, and that pretty much covers all the bases. And so it mentioned this road to idolatry for a Christian who starts to say, okay, I've got God, but I need God plus this one other thing before I'm happy or before everything's okay. Or I've got God, but I need to get like minus something, minus the cancer that I'm fighting with, or minus this person that's driving me crazy or whatever. So it's either God plus something else before I'm satisfied, or God minus whatever it is before I'm satisfied. And that's idolatry. But then John Piper says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Not wishing for something else or to be rid of something else, but when we just learn to trust Him and rest in His plans for our life and His goodness and faithfulness. All right. Satan's goal in sin and suffering is to drive a wedge between us and God. God's got other plans, but Satan would just love to see us, when we get into these hard places, to start to doubt God and to begin to trust something besides God. Does that make sense to you? I mean, he just wants to push us apart. And suffering can do that, to make us doubt His goodness and His power. We have a choice to make. We're either going to allow God to grow our faith and learn to trust Him in our suffering, or we're going to place our trust in something else, idolatry. Okay? And it's a daily choice, right? Yes.
You joined two things together. You said sin and suffering.
Yeah.
It's interesting how the two play out with each other.
Yes, it is.
That it's like we have found the enemy and he is me type thing. And you know, the don'ts. Don't do this. People get all upset about the don'ts. Don't do this. But if you see the do before the N apostrophe T.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right. Before I get into suffering in general, I thought it would be, we'll just pick the low-hanging fruit first. We'll just do this is the easy part right here. And that is, why is it that God allows suffering in the lives of his children and Christians, okay? So there's some really good reasons why God would permit us to suffer. Let's take a look at some of them. Okay, first of all, for Christians, and I believe somebody's put this up here, kind of to refine our character, the forge, right? Let me see if I can read this to you. James 1, 2 through 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials. Oh, man, that's so counterintuitive. But consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then in 1 Peter, it also says, so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So, that's one reason that God permits suffering in our lives, is that it is like a forge that will test our faith, and it will help grow our faith, and it'll help grow our trust in God. Let's take a look at another one. This next one is discipline, right? Hebrews 12:7, it says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? So that's you look at hardships that way, and you say, oh, well, this is just a sign of my father's love for me. He's correcting me. He's getting me back on the right track. He's disciplining. Here's another one. One reason that God allows us to suffer is that it enables us to identify with and to encourage other sufferers. In 2 Corinthians, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. And so, I don't know if you've ever had this experience before, but either you have been through something that cost you greatly, and it was hard, but you saw God's faithfulness and you've experienced his healing in your life. And then God brings somebody else across your path that's going through that same kind of a struggle. And you're able to have compassion for them because you know, you've been through it. Unlike somebody who's never been through that. And you're able to talk to them about God's goodness and his faithfulness to you. And you're able to be a testimony of his healing power in your life that will encourage them, you know? Okay, here's one that's for Christians. Suffering helps us draw closer to the Lord. C.S. Lewis has a quote here, and here's what he says. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And if you, I have found that when I am hurting and in pain and suffering, that is the time that I am desperate to hear from God, right? That's one reason that he allows it. Here's another one for Christians. It's suffering can come about as a result of loving our neighbor as ourselves, all right? Which is the second great commandment. Listen to this. Opening up your heart is a risky and often painful business. That little line, take up your cross, that implies suffering. That's a mouthful. Several years ago, Debbie and I were teaching the high school Sunday school class down in the FLC, and there was a young man that started attending, and he was in the foster program, and he was going through some real struggles, and we felt a lot of compassion for him and invited him home with us after church a few Sundays. And at one point, he looked around and he said, "I'm so tired of the foster program." He said, "Would you be willing to maybe consider becoming my legal guardians?" And we prayed pretty hard about that. And we finally, we said, okay. And the next few years were some of the most painful years of our life. And he had all this baggage. And we failed miserably as far as kind of straightening him out or fixing him. When he turned 18, he left worse than he was when he came. And I was a little bit, okay, I was really feeling like a failure. And God spoke to my heart. He said, I didn't, when I asked you to do that, I didn't ask you to fix him. And I just wanted you to love him. So, when you open up your heart to somebody else, be prepared. You very well may suffer. I just think part of the missionary experience, you know, that if you're getting ready to consider going into another culture, leaving everything that you know and love behind, there's huge sacrifices, and it hurts. And it's very hard to learn a new culture, new language. But missionaries understand about suffering. Just being a follower of Christ. How about that? It says you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross, and he wants us to follow him. That kind of love. Agape, sacrificial, painful love. Another one for Christians is that suffering reminds us that this world is not our home. And we have that up here. 2 Corinthians, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. I was just at an event last night where they were singing a lot of old gospel music. And so much of that music is about going to heaven. And I just wonder if it's because the old timers maybe suffered worse than we did, you know. Didn't have indoor bathrooms. Didn't have hot water. Didn't have a lot of stuff. So heaven meant a lot more to them. But I think the more we suffer, the more we think about heaven and those promises. And then let's see here. Suffering for our own good. It says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes, his purpose for them. That is a huge faith statement. It's just believing in spite of the circumstances that God has our best interests in mind and has our good at heart, and he's working these things out. How are we doing on time? Okay, so those are some reasons why Christians might face suffering and kind of help us to understand a little bit of our suffering. But what about other kinds of suffering? I mean, when you pick up the paper or look at the news, Let's just take a moment to think about this world that we're living in, okay? Evil, abuse, cruelty, innocent victims, natural disasters, genocide, rape, torture, murder, plague, starvation, war, corruption, greed, exploitation, human trafficking, addiction. This is a broken world that we live in. I cranked that little list out in just a couple of minutes. Didn't even spend too much time, you know, having to think about it that hard. But we live in a world that is full of evil and suffering. So the non-Christian world looks at these things and they ask a Christian, how can you believe in a good God when you see all that stuff going around all the time? And I think we need to have an answer, not just for them, but we need to have an answer for ourselves as well. Amen. All right? Amen. Like, how do you explain this? Well, yes. Say that again. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep. 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 Yeah. Believe in God more. Yes. Yep. Yeah.
We don't talk about nothing like that no more. We don't get serious.
Yeah.
But you got to love God more. That's how you put on your big boy pants
and you look. And our brother has a gift of exhortation right here, right?
He might have been around
another tree somewhere. But we got old. Yep.
We don't live
in that
place all our life. Yep. Spin around your rear end and ride right
on. Yep. All
right. But you tell other people, hey, don't you do the stupid stuff that I do.
Yeah.
Because I was on the way to hell.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm kind of hope. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping to do is give you some ammunition and some equipment for your own faith, but also to share with other people about how we can believe in God more. Okay. C.S. Lewis. Put the unbeliever's question to us. He put it this way. And he said, if God were good, he would wish to make his creatures perfectly happy. And if God were almighty, well, he would be able to do what he wished. But the creatures are not happy. Therefore, God lacks either goodness or power or both. Okay, this is a very, very powerful accusation and a question that Christians have to deal with, okay, for ourselves and for other people. It's when these unbelievers look around and they say all this horrible stuff going on, they're saying, how can you believe that either that God is good, or if he's good, how can you believe that he's really the Almighty? Because if he were good and the Almighty, he'd want us all to be happy. Well, it's flawed logic, and we're going to get into this, but it's powerful. And even us, when we run into hard situations, there's that temptation to say, does God really love me? Does he, is he busy? Is he neglecting me? Is he like off somewhere else? Does he really love me? Or maybe he loves me, but you know what? My problem was just a little bit too big for him. And so you see how we're tempted to kind of go one way or the other. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So that's all about sin.
Right.
When somebody, I've had a few people ask me that before. Yeah. Why doesn't God step up and do something? But you know what? That's these people's minds. That's what the way they want to, what they want to do.
Yes. Yep. Yep. That's so good to remember that God's plan A for us was the Garden of Eden, right? And that's where we're headed in the new heavens and the new earth. We just unfortunately happen to be born in this little in-between time where we suffer. Yeah. Okay, by the way, I say, this is a problem. This is not a problem for atheists, right? For them, when they look around the world and they see all these horrible things, they say, I use that little phrase, this world, red in tooth and claw. Well, it's just the laboratory where only the strongest survive and evolution takes place and all that kind of stuff. So a person who's an atheist looks around and sees all the horrible stuff going on, and they don't have a problem with it. You know, that's just normal. But they look at us and they say, but I do have a problem in you believing that there's a good God in the light of all this, okay? So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a little pin in this right here, but just to let you know which way we're headed. Next week, I'm going to begin to kind of methodically, point by point, begin to address the issue about, is God really almighty and able to do what he wants to do, whether that's whether we experience suffering or not experience suffering. Because that's the accusation. God must not really be in control. He must not really be powerful if we look around and see all these things happening. And I am going to share some stuff with you next week, just scripture after scripture, that is going to help to build your faith. It's going to bring it to right up in the forefront to say, without a shadow of a doubt, you'll be able to walk out of here next Sunday saying, I know that my God is in control no matter what the circumstances look like. Amen. God is in control. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you are not daunted by some of these questions that people raise about you. We want to declare today that you are in control, and we want to declare today that you are a God of love, and we want to declare today that you have a plan and a purpose for everything that we face. We ask you to help us in these next couple Sundays that our faith would be strengthened, and that our trust in you would become better and more strongly established, so that as we look at hard things and go through hard things, like me, from when I was little, afraid of that stuff, trying to ignore it, push it away, push it down, that we'll have more faith to believe that you're working out your good plans, that you're with us, that you love us tenderly. We thank you for this time now and the good comments and the encouragement that we've already received. Be with us this week until we get together next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.